From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell them Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 95 of Little Brother for the 30th of July, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother's right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Deja mu is that uncanny sense that you have heard this bullshit before. Ian Levy of the UK National Cybersecurity Center and Crispin Robinson of GCHQ have just published yet another paper doubling down on the oh-so-very-tired argument against end-to-end encryption, to wit, won't somebody please think of the children? That's right, because some people are perverts, all people must have their communications snooped upon. This argument didn't cut it the first time I heard it in the 1990s, and it doesn't cut it now. If ever there was an argument for making stuff in your own country, or at least in those that are firmly allied with you, here it is. CNN have uncovered a report by the FBI that determined that the cellular equipment installed in some rural locations in the Midwest and manufactured by Huawei are capable of capturing and disrupting Defense Department communications, including those used by the U.S. Strategic Command, which oversees the nation's nuclear arsenal. Yay. We don't know if any data is actually being intercepted. The Chinese government, naturally, is denying any efforts to spy on the U.S., but what good would a spy operation be if they admitted to it? Back in 2005, Nintendo marketed a Wi-Fi adapter that could be used to connect your Nintendo DS or Nintendo Wii to the internet by routing it through your PC. It's 17 years later now, and Nintendo have issued a statement that if you are still using one of these devices, you really need to stop, because it is not secure. The device uses WEP encryption, which, well, let's just say it's old enough, obsolete enough, and insecure enough that I have never actually used it myself. Serious though, if you're using one, just stop. Just stop now. Go get a proper router and use that instead. This is the hardware version of Patch Your Systems. Well, the answers are starting to emerge about what happened to Rogers Communications 3 weeks ago. According to reports filed with the CRTC, it was, wait for it, a coding error. That's right, the same general class of problem that knocked down AT&T 32 years ago is what took down Rogers this year. According to the report, there was a 7-stage upgrade to the network being implemented. The first 5 went off without a hitch, but the 6th stage contained an error that resulted in the deletion of a routing filter that was used to prevent the routers from becoming overwhelmed. With that filter gone, the routers, well, they became overwhelmed now, didn't they? As that cascaded through the network, it took the whole thing down. Simple Analytics is reporting, crowing even, that Deutsche Telekom and Vodafone are about to reintroduce persistent user tracking. They plan to do this by inserting an extra HTTP header on your web traffic. Verizon did something similar to this some years ago for mobile customers. This was largely squashed by the widespread use of HTTPS, suggesting that the carriers may be planning to execute a man-in-the-middle attack. This is one of those cases where using a VPN would rein in the insanity. For the record, Vodafone is a sister company to Verizon, and Deutsche Telekom is the parent company of T-Mobile. How about something positive? Samsung is introducing a new feature called Repair Mode. A device that is being put into repair mode will allow a technician to examine the phone, its operating system, and its installed apps, but without any access to your data on the device. This is essentially the functional equivalent of a valet key feature that was found on some older cars, which would allow the car to be driven, but wouldn't open the glove compartment or the trunk. There's probably a way to bypass this feature, but most of us are not really all that interesting, making it a sufficient deterrent to wandering eyes in most cases. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. We need to talk about doorbell cameras. Last week, I spent some time talking about cell phone records, including records generated by your apps, and how law enforcement is able to bypass the Fourth Amendment by just making a polite request to the app publisher and the cell phone companies. While inconvenient, you do actually have the ability to avoid this problem by not carrying a phone. That could be a blessing or a curse and may require you to make some wholesale lifestyle changes, but the option, well, it exists. I'll leave it at that. But what happens if you don't own the device that is surveilling you? If you live in a neighborhood of any significant density, take a walk around it sometime and look at the houses. Don't stare, you'll scare your neighbors, but just kind of make some casual observations. I'm sure you'll see what I'm trying to call out. The little black boxes next to some of your neighbor's doors, often with a white ring around a button. That has taken the place of doorbells. They're very convenient. If you're not at home, you can still watch, listen to, and talk to anyone who has come up to your door, whether they've rung the bell or not. You can record them too, which has been the source of material for many YouTube videos of people doing sketchy things. Hell, one of my friends even uses one because he has a vindictive ex and needs to document what happens at his door. Very, very convenient. Guess who else they're convenient for? If you guessed law enforcement, you guessed right. You see, in the past, if you had a home surveillance system and the authorities wanted access to the video, they had to either get your consent and cooperation, or they had to get a warrant. Either way, they had to work with you as the owner of that system. However, video that is taken with Amazon or Google surveillance cameras, where do you think that goes? To the cloud! I'm sure you've heard the expression, there is no cloud, it's just somebody else's computer. Yeah. Those clouds are made up of computers owned by Amazon and Google. Guess whose cooperation and consent is needed to access those recordings? If you guessed Amazon and Google, you guessed right. Guess who gives that cooperation and consent willingly? If you guessed Amazon and Google again, you guessed right. Again. Notice how you, as the ostensible owner of the cameras, have been neatly cut out of the loop. Now again, I'm not opposed to the police being able to do their job. I'm just opposed to it being shortcut. This sort of half-assery has to stop. The situation I described last week was something you could do something about. This situation, however, we are individually powerless to stop it. I want to take a moment to talk about burnout in the IT business. IT has traditionally been a high-pressure, long-hours line of work. Customer expectations are often unrealistic, as are estimates of level of effort. This has, however, been compounded in recent years by the shift in the job market. It's a great market if you are looking for work, because everyone is short-staffed. However, once you're actually in a job, it can suck very much bad because, everyone is short-staffed. So, as somebody who is personally suffering through IT burnout, I did the homework, and I'm bringing my findings to you because I don't know who needs to hear it, but I hope someone listening does and can use this information. Burnout is not a matter of just being stressed or having a bad day. Stress and bad days happen, and they are generally short-lived. Maybe it'll span a week or two at most, but burnout? That's long-term. Stress is a thunderstorm. Burnout is a hurricane. Stress is a hot day. Burnout is climate change. Burnout, according to the Mayo Clinic, is, quote, a state of physical or emotional exhaustion that also involves a sense of reduced accomplishment and a loss of personal identity, end quote. It sucks. It was a revelation when one day a few weeks ago I was able to put the name on it. When you're burned out, you dread going to work. You can barely muster the energy to do your job, if at all. And you wonder why you should even bother, because it's not going to be appreciated, or at least that's how it feels. It could be caused by shifting demands, unclear directives, impossible deadlines, insurmountable workloads, and long hours. When this happens, you need to act to fix it. All right, so this is important. When you're burning out, it is insanely easy to forget to take care of yourself. Let's start there. You need to prioritize your needs first. You need to make sure that you're going to bed at a healthy hour, getting a good night's sleep, eating healthy foods, getting up and moving, getting some exercise. This should go without saying, but it's easy to forget these things, to gorge on convenience foods, to work late into the night to meet those impossible deadlines. Next up is pushback. The current job market gives you some leverage. As long as you're being productive, push back on things like long hours, working through lunch, constant on-call, etc. Let me clarify that last one. It's fine to be on call for a week or two out of a month. On call 24/7 is not okay. Use your vacation days. I'm using some this week. Your vacation days are part of your compensation package. If a vacation request is denied, make another one for another date. And another. After the third denial, maybe you want to ask a more poignant question, such as when exactly vacation might be authorized for you. I'm going to repeat this. Vacation days are part of your compensation package. It's part of your pay. It's bad enough that it's been whittled down to 2 weeks for so many of us. But whatever duration you do get, it means absolutely fuck all if you are never allowed to take them. You legally earned them. They are yours. Do not let the management deny you this. So that leads us to the final step to battle burnout. That is to bug out. As I've said already several times, the job market is really good right now. Brush up your resume and start looking. The shameful thing about all of this is that it should not be an adversarial relationship between you and your workplace. When it becomes one, that's when burnout becomes possible. If you find yourself in this situation, it's time to pull that ripcord. Of course, I recognize that everyone's situation is different. You do, however, have to do what is right for you. This is what I'm doing, or what I have done in the past, and maybe you need to adjust this advice in one way or another. But any way you slice it, I just hope this helps somebody out there listening to this podcast. If nothing else, I hope it lets you put a name on what you're feeling. You don't have to give up your humanity to work in IT, and nobody should be asking that of you. As I tell you at the end of every podcast, stay safe and be well. We have another listener letter this week. This one comes to us from Daryl, who writes, Chuck, to expand on your Fourth Amendment thing in episode 94, the government paying someone else to collect phone data since they can't do it directly because of that nagging little thing called the Constitution, I'd like to take that further. If the ACLU does push this, and it does go to the Supreme Court, this Supreme Court, most likely it'll be upheld as nothing wrong with it since the government didn't do it directly. You know, I know, many of us know that this is total bullshit, but so was overturning Roe v. Wade and ruling against Miranda rights and that ruling that forced prayer was okay in schools, etc. So most likely, in at least a 5-4 ruling, if Roberts decides not to buck the fascist jackasses, it's going to be ruled that it's okay for government to hire others to do their dirty work. That sets a nice precedent, doesn't it? Now, instead of having to get a warrant to search your house, they hire Blackwater or the Wagner Group to come kick in your door and ransack your house looking for seditious materials, and if they think they've found something but realize it'll never hold up in court, they can simply hire someone to pull a little extrajudicial justice on you. And of course, you won't be able to do anything about it. The government has hired groups like Blackwater to pull overseas shit a lot, not to mention hiring Halliburton and giving them those you-cannot-sue-them-for-incompetence clauses in their contracts, so even when shitty workmanship causes a Navy SEAL to die from electrocution in a shower, nothing can be done. Think of how much fun the Heading Towards Fascism government can have with this. Daryl, I have to say that this looks somewhat like reductio ad absurdum, but I don't see any harm in keeping an eye on it and calling it out if it ever starts to happen. There is a lot of wheel spinning going on right now, and I'm really, really hoping that we, the people, can get some traction soon. I suppose that if Blackwater or Wagner were to start kicking in doors in the U.S., that because they are, in fact, not government, they would not have the immunity to prosecution if you can just get somebody to fucking do it. I hope we never have to find out. The silver lining here is in noting where the analogy breaks down. When Meta or Alphabet or Verizon responds to a request for data, they are responding with data that legally is theirs. They own it. You and I and the other end users gave it to them. Mind you, it's ours too, but these corporations we've given it to have the legal right to access and use and disseminate it. It sucks. That said, this does have implication for rented homes. If you're an apartment dweller, could they serve a warrant on your landlord for your apartment? Law enforcement can search a vehicle with just probable cause, but what if you're traveling or even living permanently in an RV? so much independence that you can pull up the stakes and move on at any time, but it's a vehicle, so it can be searched. It may be an urban legend, but I have heard stories of this principle even being tortured to the point of covering trailers in trailer parks, though those can hardly be called motor vehicles due to the absence of, what is that thing? Oh yeah, a motor, or often a hitch or wheels. Anyway, it's just a thought. As usual, we'll end the show with the fail of the week. This week's winner is Unjected. Unjected is a dating site for the anti-vaccine crowd. It describes itself as the largest unvaccinated dating platform and has been described as a Tinder for anti-vaxxers, a place where people could find... Hold on, let me get this quote right. mRNA-free eggs, breast milk, or even semen. It turns out the site's web application framework was running in debug mode. This is not typically something that you want in production, as it reveals whatever you want to know. The administration dashboard was openly accessible. Anybody with access could create, retrieve, update or delete user records and data. This is what they call not good. So it seems like COVID risk is not the only thing that this site exposed its users to. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Snackness, David, Thriller at Play, Knight Rider 007, Joe Cadillac, Fongaboo, and Daryl for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our fail of the week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.